There's a legend about a Christian in the first century who found himself blessed with one perfect experience after another. This person had a perfect family. His children excelled in labor and learning and were very successful in jobs that they were able to get. His wife was also outstanding in church life, fellowship, and the business world. And the family attended a New Testament church. All the spiritual gifts that God would give his people were active in that fellowship, and miracles happened on a frequent basis. And during the worship time, there was perfect singing and perfect praying and perfect preaching. And everyone tithed, and the theology was perfect, 100% accurate, and free from error whatsoever. However, in the man's family and in his fellowship, there was one critical characteristic that was missing. No one loved anyone else, and no one loved God. And the legendary man said this: he would trade all the experiences of perfection for God's love poured out into the people's heart by God himself, that is, by his Holy Spirit, which is what Romans 5:5 says. And because of that outwardly perfect life, the life was still a life without God and a life without good news. And what I've described to you is known as the anti-law of God heresy. That is, seeking of a religious life or seeking of some kind of move toward God, reaching up toward God in some exerting manner, as opposed to God reaching down to us with his Son, with his Word, with his law. What I described is really an anti-law of God heresy, or the antinomian heresy, as would be a problem in history. It's a problem in the first century church. It's a problem for Christians today in 2014. Jesus said this: the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And a second commandment is like it. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And last week we saw that backsliding is a turning away from God. The word's used a bunch of times in the Old Testament, somewhere between 15 and 24. And it's a common danger for believers. Israel backslid on a number of occasions. Every believer who's ever walked with the Lord probably has backslid at one time or another. And it's a common danger for Christians today. And one key point from last week was Jesus treats the sinful backslider with as much compassion as he treats those who are physically ill. Remember, throughout his ministry, he would help the lame and the ones who were blind and couldn't see. He helped them. And so spiritually, when we're like that as children of God, even God would come and give aid to us and help us and want to cure us of backsliding. So Jesus helps the wayward. And one of the ways to backslide is to be anti-law of God. And that's what we're going to hit today. Next week is the legalism as a way of backsliding. So this is kind of the opposite of legalism. And the anti-law of God creed is this: let me believe in Christ the way I want to believe in Christ. I'm free from God's word or God's law. And the antinomian God says, I receive Christ, I believe in him, I am a Christian, but I don't need the Ten Commandments. I don't need the commands of Jesus. Okay, I don't need the letters of Paul. They're not, you know, hitting my heart in any manner. Instead, I have this relationship with the Lord, and it's a relationship, and it's kind of a flowing thing, and it doesn't have anything to do with absolute standards of behavior that were true for all time. Okay, that would be the antinomian heresy. And initially, it could be very attractive, as was the guy with the perfect experiences in the first century. The antinomian or anti-law heresy shows up in a couple of things: apathy or rejection of God's word. That's a sign that we're backsliding away from God and losing our love for him. For example, Psalm 19, David, who loved God very much and had a heart after God, said this: God's law is more desired than gold. And gold was the number one, you know, commodity back then, for some it is today. And what if I told you, in an economic downtime, which we have, you know, there's one certain bank has a certificate of deposit, a CD, that gives you 100% interest on your deposit. 100%. Unbelievable. You'd say, this can't be true. It's true, I tell you. And you would say, well, I can put $100 there, and next thing you know, it'll be $200. It'll certainly be worth my time and investment and going and seeking this out. And God would say, I have something like that for your soul. And it's my word. And it's my law. Are you interested? Are you interested? And might we seek him that way? So backsliding is a rejection of God's word or law. It's also a relying often on my religious experience over and against God's word. Now, this is a tricky area, but pretty clear area. God leads us and guides us daily by his Holy Spirit. God resides in the believer, and he helps us to know when to serve and how to put Jesus forward and how to follow and so on. But we don't want to have experiences that we claim are from God but are exactly opposite of what God has told us in his word. So I'll give a few examples of this later. And eventually, backsliding or rejection of God's law shows up in no love toward God or no emotions toward him or one another. And that's easy to come by. You know, our emotions are up and down, but they are to be put under the feet of Christ. And I think if they are, then unless we're fatigued and or burnout, which we certainly would get at least 6 days a week, needing that refreshment, then love for God is a fervent thing that no one has to twist our arms about. It's just automatic. And so often anti-law attitude, which God spoke against pretty much in Galatians, in the passage that was read, in 1 John and other letters of Paul. The anti-God or anti-law of God attitude often shows up in my own heart when I come up with a list of what I don't have to do. Okay? Now, if I was having a friendship with somebody and I said, you know, I know we're going to have this friendship, it's going to be great, but these are some of the things I don't have to do. You would wonder, what? Why are you interested in so much in what you won't be participating in? That's pretty incredible. But here's the list of what I don't have to do when I have an anti-law of God attitude. I've said these things and heard a few of you say it. I don't have to go to worship. Okay, that's a very popular one that some of you practice quite well. Okay, I don't have to go to worship. And this is a part of the creed that begins to be an anti-law of God, anti-word of God mentality. Another one, I don't have to share the gospel. You know, I have the right to just keep it to myself, and I'm going to heaven. I want to work on that, make sure I'm comfortable and happy and well supplied, and the passing it out isn't optional. I don't have to care for the poor or the ill. Okay, that's another option that pushes away God's directives about those things. In terms of stewardship, another popular one, I don't have to tithe. Okay, I don't have to tithe. There's another hugely practiced one that makes you wonder where a person's heart is to say, well, I'll be a steward of God, and yet I will push away some of the things he taught his people. And more deadly ones, I don't have to forgive. I don't have to love. And you would agree, when we start to have what we don't have to do, it begins to move us farther and farther away from God's law, his commands, and from God's holiness. Interesting, Moses told the people after receiving the Ten Commandments, God gave you these commandments that you might fear him, and that fearing him would keep you from sin. Okay, so those commandments are great boundary lines to show us where sin is and to drive us right down the middle toward the Savior. And so not to reject the law of God. The heresy is this. We're not expected to follow Jesus' commandments, but we are saved by His grace. Okay, the moment we start thinking about that or begin to say, how can I stay away from God's law? A red flag should go up. Because the Lord who loved us, saved us, gave His life for us, is the one who wrote the law of God, the holy law of God. And the Bible says, even though we're saved by grace, saved by Christ, it doesn't lead us to reject God's law. Rather, we uphold it. We say, this is good. And so, a couple examples of this. God's law for today helps us in a number of ways. I'll show some scripture here. It shows us our sin and it shows us our Savior. Now, there's certain things that God's law cannot do, which we want to say amen to. In Galatians, if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So if we have God's law, and if we could keep the law and by that reach up to God and know peace with God, then Jesus wouldn't have to come and die for our sins. You know, and the Holy Spirit should have stayed in heaven. We wouldn't need Him to come into our hearts to help us walk after God's ways. If righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And that's a good caution for believers who often feel that if we just had more of God's law, everything would be terrific. More of God's law should automatically bring us more of Christ because of knowing our need. Similar verse in Romans 2:20, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. So the law can't save us. Or the law can't sanctify us, change us from the inside out. But it is effective doing certain things, which what does God's law do for us? So we're not anti-God's law and thus being anti-God. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. God's law reminds us how much we need the Lord. We need to know how we're doing in our relationship with God. We have a sense of conviction by the Holy Spirit, or we hear God's word and say, I want to do that. I haven't been doing that. Loving my neighbor. My love for God is cold. Interesting, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus spoke to seven churches, in almost every one, he had a word of correction. And it had to do with how they were trusting Christ Himself or following His ways. So the law puts us back to Jesus. And if you'd like to be closer to God, a good place to start, looking at His law. Some effective believers in history have looked at the Ten Commandments and said, okay, each day, Lord, where did I covet? And where did I put other things before You? And how am I doing with honoring mom and dad and so on. Just let God use His word to draw us to Christ. Second, good practice of God's law. Through the law, we become conscious of sin. Martin Luther said that the law was so good, it was a mirror to show us ourselves where our heart was off. And it also shows us our Savior. And he also said that the law was a hammer to smash our self-righteousness. We'll see how next week how legalism kind of tries to get around that. It says you can be righteous by doing certain things. And it leaves Jesus out of the picture. But through the law, we become conscious of sin. That we might be a repenting people. Always turning to God. And angels rejoice when we do that. So it's a healthy thing. Paul, a great preacher of the grace of God and the gift of Christ, that you couldn't earn or deserve, said this, do we nullify the law by faith? Not at all. We uphold the law as we treat it as something special. And the law is holy and good, and I delight in God's law. So Jesus himself said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we can use God's law to, to remind us of the holiness of God and to see our need for Christ. Errors in, again, rejecting God's law is this. I begin to make up my own religion, and I say, well, I just want to do what I'm led to do by God. And some of that's really good, because God will lead us to minister and to praise and to serve. That's a good thing. But the out of bounds things come when we do this, which I've said and I've heard others say. You know, God has led me to. God has led me not to forgive that person. Well, you might say, well, you don't want to forgive the person, but I don't think God would lead you to do that. Okay? Don't put that on God. Jesus has led me to not speak to my Christian brother and sister. You know, unless you have approached him and her and tried to work that out, Jesus would never lead you to do that. The Holy Spirit has led me to shack up with my girlfriend. It makes me feel better when I do this. You say, well, you know, you might want to do that because she's a nice gal and everything, but the Holy Spirit would never lead you to do something against what's written clearly in His Word and other errors that we often get into. God's law is for everyone. And God, as He leads us each day, is always going to lead us into the paths that He already set before us in His law. Well, here's a good focus of God's law. The commands are summed up in one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. So it begins to play itself out in just a practice of how can I help the other person? That's like the driving force of your life. People who study leadership and how to make an impact, which we want our lives to count for something, it usually has to do with how many of you helped along the way. You know, you could help many along the way, even if you're the shyest person in Pennsylvania. You can have a card ministry. You know, send people cards all over the place. You say, oh, here it is again for Mr. Shy sent me another card. The entire law summed up in a command, love your neighbor as yourself. So that driving force to help another. And then Jesus, known as the golden rule, do to others what you want them to do for you, sums up the law and the prophets. We should, that's a great seed in the soil, by the way, for the agnostic world, the secular world, and the atheist. Almost everybody respects the golden rule. And you could say, hey, you're right on the same page with Jesus. Did you know that? When you say, oh, just treat others like you want to be treated. In fact, Jesus said this sums up everything in this Bible here. They might say, well, I'm interested in the rest of the Bible then. Since this it was preached by Jesus in that way. So if we throw out God's law, sin will take over. Sin will take over. And the Bible says sin is lawlessness. Okay, now, we know that in the atheist world, but it's also true in the Christian life. If I am lawless, then there's going to be sin in my life. And that's to say that we're still saved by Jesus and by grace, not by the law, but we cannot become lawless. Augustine said this in terms of the number one law of loving God. He said, our greatest offense is not lying or coveting or stealing or adultery. Our greatest sin is that we never love God. That's a horrible way to live. To not love God is the most deplorable and disgusting sin, he said. To not love God is to live for nothing. It'd be a terrible thing to live for nothing. Yet in spite of this, people think well of themselves. You know, I haven't stolen or I haven't done this. He said, beware of your dreadful guilt in forgetting God, because without him you are desperate and have no hope. Just that need for us to say, oh, the law of God tells me of the greatness of a Savior's love that I need. Now, here's what happens when Christ comes into our heart in closing here. As God's law becomes enriched to us, and we change from a have-to list to a want-to and love-to-do this list. Okay? From a have-to list to a want-to and love-to-do this list. Because of Christ, I want to worship God. I love to gather with His people more and more as we see the end coming, and I don't neglect that. I mean, that would be your testimony. Because the writer of the law now is in your heart, and He causes us to walk in His ways. Because of Christ, I want to worship God. I can't wait to worship God. If you closed all the churches in Pennsylvania, I'd still worship God with two or three other Christians somewhere. It's God's Spirit, God's law. Because of Christ, I want to share Christ. It breaks my heart to think another day without Jesus for somebody, or someone going to hell. It just makes you feel horrible. And how about this? Because of Christ, I want to forgive. I love to forgive. It's difficult, but I can't wait for the opportunity in my own soul to say, I want to forgive that person. And because of Christ, I can't wait to love my neighbor. Something. It means staying out of his way for a while. I do that. It means passing on some good prayer for him. I do that. I love to do what God asked me to do. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments as an expression of love. So Christ in you and I fulfills the righteous call of God's law. And following Jesus then for us, instead of backsliding, is not the legendary perfect guy of the first century. Okay? I mean, to not backslide is not to try to do that. But to reject backsliding is to follow Jesus as the pro-love, pro-law of God, lover of souls, lover of Christ himself. And that person's not a legend. Okay, that person is sitting right in your seat, according to the Bible. Because God has poured out his love for Christ in you, love for God's law. And might we say, yes, we reject backsliding, and we want to walk with the Lord and walk in his ways. Let's pray together. Some, would you pray in this manner? Jesus, be my Lord and Savior so I can delight in your law. As that was part of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He said, we delight in God's law in our inner self. And then for some, Lord, we would simply pray to you, Jesus, be yourself in us today. So we might follow after you, Lord, in your ways. We might humble ourselves before your law. It's intimidating, Lord, because it does smash our self-righteousness. And sometimes we don't want to hide in the Savior by saying, well, now we don't have to deal with God's law. And even though, Jesus, the law is not our salvation, certainly it brings our damnation without you, we would want to trust you, Jesus, and walk in your ways in a glad and free manner. As Paul said, not use our freedom to sin, but use our freedom to walk in your law, that is to love the neighbor and love you, dear Lord. Give us that delight in yourself. When we catch a glimpse of you, we can't help but love you. When we do religion, we do a lot of things, but we don't love you. So we'd rather do the first. Work in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.